Well, good morning, St. John's Church family and all who are listening, and thanks for tuning in on Life FM or via our website. I'm Philip Burns, and this is the podcast of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Forest Street, Bendigo. Our first hymn this morning will be, And Can It Be? On this morning's podcast, we're beginning a new series on the first letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. There'll be more hymns and songs that will praise the name of our great God. Drew and Esther will be reading the scriptures for us. There'll be a message for the children. Later in the hour, I'll bring a message from God's word to teach and encourage us. But now, Peter will lead us in prayer.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus to worship you as our God and to affirm our love for you. For you showed your love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Through faith in him, you have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and despair, and you have brought us into his kingdom of light and life, to that sure and certain hope that not even death can quench. Once we were children of your wrath. Now your Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are your children, and assures us that as your children we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him, in order that we may be glorified with him. We love you, our God, for you have first loved us, but we confess that we do not yet love you as we ought. Self-will still struggles with your word to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we long for the day when we shall see our Lord Jesus face to face, and be fully like him, perfected in love for you and for each other, enabled by your mighty, transforming, resurrecting power to serve you for all eternity with unsinning hearts. In the meantime, our Father, we pray that you would not only forgive us our many sins against your love and your law, but that you would also more and more transform us by your word and spirit to love you until your commandments are no longer burdensome but our delight. Oh, that we might say with our Lord Jesus, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And loving God, we give thanks for every blessing that enriches our lives from day to day, for the essentials of life, for our food, clothing, and shelter, as your good gifts to us, for the measure of health and strength with which we have blessed us, for the lessening in our state and nation of the COVID pandemic, for the easing of restrictions and greater opportunity to go about our work and play unhindered. For these and all your mercies we give thanks. And with the passing of another Remembrance Day, we especially give thanks for your goodness to our nation in peril in times of war. We join with our fellow Australians in remembering with glad thankfulness those brave men and women who gave even their lives in the defence of home and family and country. And as Christians, we also remember your rule over the affairs of the nations, that victory in war is not to the biggest or the best guns, or the bravest and fittest fighters. Rather, victory is of the Lord. It's your gift to give. And so we thank you for deliverance from our foes in times of war, and for our present peace and security. And we pray that you would bless us with continued peace, prosperity, and freedom from aggression. Lord God, we say, lest we forget, and we remember those whose gallant defence of home and country cost them dearly. Help us also, lest we forget you. May we know and practice the truth revealed in your word. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. We sing, O God, God of our fathers known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Lest we forget. But we fear that as a nation we have forgotten that if you are to be with us, we must be with you. For your eye is on those who fear you, on those who hope in your steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death. So we pray that you would revive gospel ministry among us and through us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we and our nation might be transformed by true repentance unto life and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with you, the one true and living God. O God of peace, We acknowledge before you the tragedy of our human condition. We long for peace, but wage war. Have mercy, O God, upon our suffering world, upon people quarrelling and fighting in homes, on their streets, in workplaces, even in parliaments, and on many battlefields. Please bless people who work for peace. Prosper the efforts of those who encourage love and contentment instead of hatred and greed. Give true wisdom to leaders of nations to be men and women of peace. And bless the proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, the Prince of Peace, He who alone can give peace of conscience and contentment of heart where envy and greed flourish by nature, so that being at peace with you, we may be at peace with each other. Hasten the day, O Lord, foreseen by the prophets, when he shall judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And in the meantime, may your peace guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, for we pray in his name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Drew, and our first reading today comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 15. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men, who have turned the world upside down, have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things, and when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Our next song is Be Unto Your Name.
Well, it's time for the children's talk. It's Philip again here, and I'm wondering if you know what an idol is. It's a kind of tricky question, isn't it? It's tricky because you might be thinking about a great big statue of some person or something that people worship. The Bible tells us about a great big statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made in the book of Daniel, and how Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down and worship it. There's another story in the Bible about the people of God after God had just rescued them from Egypt, and how they made an image of a calf out of gold and how they worshipped that. There are lots of references to other kinds of idols in the Bible too, particularly about other gods that the people went and worshipped instead of the one true God. And you might remember too that the first commandment that God taught his people was this one: "You shall have no other gods before me." So if you were thinking along those lines about statues and other gods, you were right, but it's not quite the whole story. See, I can think of idols that are all around us that don't look like statues or other gods. Here on my desk I've got some money, $50. To many people, money is an idol. I've also just been watching some football, and that reminds me that sport is also an idol to some people. And just this morning I was using a mirror to shave, And that reminds me that for many people their idol is themselves, and especially how they look. See, an idol can be anything. Anything that gets in the way of putting God first. Anything that we give more time to, or more attention to, or think more about than God. Some people even have food as their idol, or work, or other good things. But when they become more important than God, well, that's when we've got problems. Did you know that a Christian is someone who turns away from idols to serve the living and true God? That's what the Apostle Paul wrote about the believers in the place called Thessalonica in the New Testament. We've just heard a reading about how when Paul went there to tell them about Jesus, he found that they worshipped idols like many people did of that region and time. But when they heard the good news that there is a living God and that we can know him through his living son Jesus, these people turned away from their idols and they turned to Jesus and believed the message Paul gave them. Now it's important to remember this and understand it well. They turned away from idols, that is to say, they turned their backs upon them and said, no more. They repented of what they had been doing and worshipping and said, we're not going to do this anymore. That's great, but it's only half the story. They didn't just turn away from idols. They also turned to God to serve him and to wait for his son from heaven. In other words, they not only turned away from doing what was wrong, they turned to God, which is doing what was right. And this is what the message of the gospel ought to remind us about. It helps us to say no to the things that the world tells us we ought to worship. And it also helps us to say yes to the one we should really worship. The one who made us, the one who loved us, the one who gave his son for us. This week, see if you can remember to ask God to help you not to worship the things you have or even who you are, but to worship him and him only, because then we'll know what it is to love and serve the true God. The last verse in the letter of 1 John says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Will you do that? Hope to see you soon.
Good morning. My name is Esther, and today I'm going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and of labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Our next song will be How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Well, that's all from us at St. John's Presbyterian Church, Bendigo, this Sunday morning. And we'd like to express our grateful thanks to Life FM for hosting this podcast each week. My name is Philip Burns. It's been great to have you listen in via Life FM or via our website, bendigopc.org.au. You can find there all our contact details and information on how you too can come to know of the salvation that comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us again next Sunday at 9 a.m. on Life FM, or better still, if lockdown restrictions aren't in place, join us at 10:30 a.m. at our church building on the corner of Forest and Mackenzie Streets in central Bendigo. Until then, may God grant you his peace, his blessing, and his grace this day as you walk with him and serve in his name.